And good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Thursday, November 19th, 2020. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Melody. I hope you're having a good day. It's been a beautiful day.
Absolutely. It certainly came off today, the lows of the evening last night. I think we dipped into the low 30s, maybe even the high 20s, but we're having a beautiful day today.
Absolutely. I mean, for the past the middle of November, this kind of weather's kind of nice.
It is. In fact,
we got into it away all weekend, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, we get into the mid 60s for the next couple of days.
Yes.
So. Although I have a red banana plant, that didn't do well at all overnight. He went bye-bye.
My palm trees got killed, too. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't either.
I keep wanting to think I'm living in the tropics, but I guess I'm not.
Yeah. Well, that means I'll just have to get another one next year, because they are pretty plants. But anyway, gold...
I didn't say anything. Go ahead.
Oh.
Agreed
gold
with
today.
You.
Gold today, we're looking at, it's down $4.40 in the New York spot price aftermarket, $1,868. Silver was down 19 pennies at $24.22. Platinum is up 10 at $956. And palladium is up a buck at $2,361. And rhodium up another $400 today. Amazing. The USDX today is down 0.13 at 92.26, ready to break into 91 level. Crude oil was up 11 cents at $41.93. And let me see if I can find paper markets here. I finally got my new computer, so I'm trying to navigate it and find all my pages that I told Todd prior to coming on the program, things changed after 12 years on computers. So, I don't know.
Dow was up 44 points. Back when you were in high school.
Could you
ever dream that something like this be out here? I mean, yeah. Skype? You ever think that would ever be available and everybody have cell phones and my gosh.
Sure, I watched the Jetsons.
Okay. Well, they're building the first carport in Florida, so they're actually going to have flying cars. So there we go, back to the Jetsons, okay.
Yeah. The Dow was up 44 points at 29,483. The NASDAQ was up 103 points, 11,904. The S&P was up 14 points at 3,581. The 10-year yield, 0.85%, down 0.03%. European Asian markets were all down, all under 1%. So nothing too much there. And it is pretty much, I just hate to say this, there isn't, it's pretty much all the same that we're getting, but yet no direction, and either it's like we're treading water. So we did have the tech stocks, they led today the advance. We have lockdowns that are widening, and all that has had some impact on the markets. Advances for Microsoft, Amazon, Adobe lifted the NASDAQ 100. Tesla rose to a record as investors bet that the global car market will be dominated by electric cars in decades ahead. So, Treasury yields slip, as I mentioned. There was no upside for European stocks. And, that was pretty much it. Again, it's all about progress on a vaccine. The IMF, the International Monetary Fund, noted progress on the vaccine, but also said elevated asset prices point to a disconnect from the real economy and a potential threat to financial stability. So while global economic activity has picked up since June. There are signs that recovery is losing momentum and the crisis is likely to leave deep, unequal scars. And this is the officials at the Washington-based fund said uncertainty and risks are exceptionally high. So there you get it, the same thing here. You know, it doesn't matter that the markets or that there's a vaccine. There's a big disconnect after, you know, with the lockdowns and the vaccines. So,
you know, I got to say this. You mentioned about the electric cars, and everybody's hoping for those. I just read an article a couple of days ago. The Tesla cars, now, I don't know if this fits fall or not, but the Tesla automobiles, it costs more to charge them than does it fill a car up with a tank of gas. That's what the article said. It costs you more in electrical bill than it does to pump it full of gas. So that's something to consider. If you're trying to save money, it may not work. And on top of that, what it costs you to recharge is what does it cost to produce that energy, and how's it being produced?
Well, and something else too. We might very well be going to an electric automobile, but you just mentioned the flying cars. What do you think they're going to use? Batteries? No. So they're going to use fossil fuels.
Sure,
so
they are. I said, sure they are.
Yeah. So, I mean, what they say and what they, you know, it's what's the agenda behind everything? And probably someday, but not in our future, I believe. You know, it'll be our grandchildren's future. They'll the ones that, and I'm sure you would think that there would be some breakthrough that would power automobiles at a lower cost, but that's not the way the world works.
Well,
they're not going to go to something
if
it's going to be cheaper.
No, they're not. They won't do that.
Henry
Ford invented cars that were made out of hemp. You could grow your own car. Now, I'm serious. This is true, folks. Look up online. Just type in Henry Ford's hemp car. They could hit it with a baseball bat and it wouldn't even put a scratch in it. That's really a true story. And he made them to run on hemp. Guess who shut him down? Guess who said, we don't want these? People can grow their own fuel and grow the material to make their own car, I guess you could say, so to speak. But the oil companies back then, the Rockefellers, said, no, we can't have this. They shut that down real quickly. But there was a hemp car made out of hemp by Henry Ford, and his fleet ran on hemp fuel. So this is all true.
There's always been stories along the years that there was ways to have energy with water.
Where
you could, you know, the automobiles would run on water. And all kinds of things that would put the oil companies out of business. So, you know, it is what it is. I mean, it is. It isn't what it is, but that's the truth. So they're not going to be going to electric. And again, how can people afford it?
Well, not if it's cheaper, they're not. And not if they don't have their finger in it, they're not. You know, if they don't have their piece of pie, they're not going. It's just the way it is. But yeah, I thought it was interesting. If you get a chance, man, look it up. Look up Henry Ford's hemp automobile. You'd be surprised what they could do with that car. It's amazing. I mean, the Henry Ford was a genius in a lot of ways. And he had an alternative to fossil fuels, but nobody wanted to hear that. So, I'll shut up and let you move on.
Oh, no, I was ready for you to. I mean, everything is about the elections, you know, the updates on the elections. What's going on in various... I just can't believe Donald Trump is still using Giuliani. That befuddles me. I mean, President Trump can have any attorney in the world. And he's putting Giuliani and sending him off to... I don't know. Am I wrong, Butch?
No, I've questioned that for a long time. I never did trust Giuliani. I never did like Giuliani's attitude, his demeanor at all. But I guess there's something there. Maybe him and Trump really are close friends. I have no idea what the reason is. But I do know there's a lot of story going on about Georgia recounting and Pennsylvania recounting and Nevada's flipped and all kinds of things happening. So I really don't know what's going to happen. I hear both sides from people that I do trust that Trump's going to overturn it. Then the other side says, no, he's not, and here's why. So I don't know, Mildy. I can't see that far in the future. And by the first of the year, I should be able to tell you what happened. Yeah, so and it may go to the Supreme Court. It certainly may do that. It happened under Gore and Bush, did it not?
Well, they recounted though in Florida.
Yeah. But finally it was settled by the court, so they come in and intervene and said this is settled. The count's here and here it is. So I don't know. We'll see. But both sides are saying they're gonna win it. And we'll have to just wait and see what happens, because it's keeping the country in a turmoil. It really, truly is dividing the country even more.
Yes, it is. And I can't even imagine if it is overturned then. I mean, good for us, but...
Oh, my. Yeah. I can't imagine either. I just can't. And that may be what's going to happen. Maybe we want more turmoil. I really don't know. I just know that things are not going well, and we can cover our head up and act like everything's going very well, but it isn't. The frustration of the people is increasing. The anger is increasing. All these things are happening now, and with this election up in the air and both sides literally almost at arms with one another, it's just time will tell. That's all I can say. It isn't pleasant, but I sit back every day and I do study the news. I do study the scriptures. And I can see what the Bible says in Psalms 9:17, that all nations that forget God turned into hell. We certainly have got a hellish turmoil in this country right now in a lot of different ways, spiritually, physically, and economically. We're in a hellish turmoil. And it's not over, Melody. It's not even started to turn around yet. The economy has not started to turn around yet. People can believe what they want to. It'll never go back to what it was in January 2020. It's not going to happen. And I don't like to keep telling people that, but I'm telling you, look at the facts. For example, initial jobless claims re-accelerated last week. Pandemic claims continue to soar. Only 742,000 Americans filed for the first time unemployment claims last week. Only 742,000. Breaking a four-week streak of drops as perhaps the second wave lockdown impacts are starting to be evident. If they shut down again, most businesses will not reopen. Louisiana saw the biggest surge in jobless claims, while Illinois and Florida saw the biggest drops. So I don't know what's going to come out of this. But if they shut the businesses down again, Melody, the ones who maybe survived the first bout are not going. A lot of them are going to make second time around. You know that.
I do.
And that's just going to cause more turmoil, more frustration, more anger. And that's all I can say about that. It just is what it is. Any comments on that?
Not today.
Okay. Well, you go ahead. I'm not trying
just
to.
Just what you want to hear on live radio, right?
People know us. They know we're a little bit slow once in a while, but it's okay.
Well, no, it's not a matter of being slow. It was just a matter of, it's been a hectic day here at Discount. We got a lot done today, and, I'm just kind of sitting here and relaxing a little bit. But
well, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah,
I guess on the good side, I'm just,
you know, you can only be I can't be fired up 24/7.
I don't know why.
Once you get 39, kind of mellow out a little.
Yeah,
bit.
Yeah, you start turning close to 40, you think slow down. Yeah.
It happens.
But Boeing is going to put a 737 back in the air. The MAX.
Yeah, we talked about that yesterday.
I don't know if that's good or bad. Oh, did you?
I know. Yeah.
I don't know if it'll be good or bad. I don't know whether I'd be nervous or not getting on a plane.
Well, you know, my thought was the timing. And I believe it's just here in the States. And we have Boeing that has been begging for money and everything. So, you know, it certainly helps them out. I'm not sure how it would help the airlines, but... So I don't know. I don't know if this, was something to. I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see. But I do hope and pray that it wasn't just for the sake of a company's bottom line.
Well, again, I don't know if the plane maybe is totally sound now. I really don't know. I couldn't say enough about it in the first place, know what's wrong with it. So I don't know a thing about flying a plane, obviously. But we'll see. But this is interesting. Profits at Google, parent Alphabet, have soared by $12 billion annually since Trump's election in November 2016. And Apple had a $13 billion per year increase. The biggest losers are old-fashioned manufacturing companies, General Electric and Boeing. Each saw revenue decline $35 billion per year. Some profited, some didn't. It says old-fashioned manufacturing companies. I guess Google actually is, and Alphabet both are. Google and Apple both are, I guess you say, really are newer companies. They haven't been around all that many years. But the ones who carried us through for decades actually slowed down. And this is a sad statement. More than half of small business owners, actually 52%, have stopped paying themselves in a bid to keep the business afloat, and 42% already have begun laying off employees or cutting workers' pay, according to a survey from Goldman Sachs. Melody, the guy that owns the business has got to eat too, right?
He does. But if he was smart, he probably had some savings and so forth, so he might maybe is able to fare a little bit better than the employees. So, I mean, kudos.
That's true.
Kudos.
Thank God he had enough sense to do that, but they did. Mm-hmm. But it's just it's a shame that they have to cut their own throats, so to speak, to keep it going because of a COVID breakout. But 42% are already laying off employees and cutting salaries. What do you think could happen in the very near future? I mean, that is really sad. Can you imagine putting your life into a business for 25, 30 years or longer, then going through this?
You know, I get it. That it was it was under no control of your own. So yeah, I can appreciate it. Yes.
I mean that is, you can imagine after all the work you put in. Well, if they just all of a sudden will bottom and fall out and through no fault of your own, that would frustrate you and it'd make you kind of angry. But it is what it is again on that. But I just feel sorry for these people that are struggling to make it, and maybe doing fairly well and worked their lives, earned it, then may lose it. As you already know, half the businesses are closed; they're not going to reopen. Yeah. So that is a huge hit on the economy of the country, but also a huge hit on those who built those businesses. That's what we're facing. After the break, we're going to talk about the attack of the debt tsunami, because it's really happening, folks. This is not over. This hit in the economy of the world is not over by any means. If we don't stand up and say enough is enough, it's not going to end.
This first segment of the program is going to end, though, but we'll be back in just a few short minutes. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Everyone enjoyed those special on the Mint State 63 $20 gold piece, the St. Gaudens. Everybody scooped those up, but it was a really good deal. And I'll see if I can't find some other good deals circulating that I can bring them to you here pretty soon. What's next, Butch? I'm just going to let you take it away.
Oh, I just want to tell you that I had a gentleman here yesterday doing some painting in our home here that Marshman went done for a while. It's Marsh's cousin, actually. And we had talking about gold and silver. And I told him about you. And I brought him back here and showed him a demonstration of the, I have 100 silver dollars, the Eagles, in a bag, along with some dollar bills, some silver certificates, and some Federal Reserve notes. I also have a 1954 $100 bill. It says Federal Reserve note on it. That says on the bill itself, this is redeemable in lawful money at any bank. So I showed him that. I said, I want you to read this very carefully. This says it's legal tender, and it can be used to pay all debts, public and private, but it's also redeemable in lawful money. Now, Melly, don't you redeem coupons?
Is that
what's with coupon? Okay.
Yes.
That was saying that this piece of paper is not lawful money. It's a coupon to show that you have $100 in a bank of silver or gold. Mm-hmm. But it's been 50. You still had some silver behind it, obviously. So you could take that $100 coupon and bring in 100 silver dollars of real money. Because that $100 is backed by silver, it's worth about $2,500 in today's dollars. Is that about right?
That's about right.
So, folks, think about this. Since 1964, $100 has decreased in value so much that it would take $2,500 to equal the 100. But if you still have silver in your hand, that silver dollar is still worth about 28 bucks a piece now, 27 bucks a piece. You still have $100 that's worth $2,700 of the day's dollars. Now, which would you prefer to have when the dollar drops and the paper is no longer in good? I showed the demonstration a lot of people mailed, and a lot of them look at it and say, wow, they didn't know. Well, they didn't know.
Mm-mm.
They didn't know. No one ever taught them, especially the younger generation, anybody from that's not as not in their, grew up with real silver money doesn't know that we no longer have money. They think they're holding in their wallet real money. But when I show them the $100 bill, the new $100 bills, just doesn't say a word about being redeemable with lawful money, because it's paper with nothing backing it. That's why it's worth dropped 2,500%, and it's worth since 1964. Now that is huge, and I think it's a very good demonstration. I've done it at church and showed what real money is. What the Bible calls real money is gold and silver. So I just thought I'd tell you about that, because the young man took your number. We'll see what he does with it. Because I told him Melly Seasham is the most honest and straightforward dealer that I've ever dealt with, and she'll do you right if you call and talk to her. So if you get a call from Craig Jones, let me know.
Okay.
Called you or not. So, but I want to share that with you, because I think that's, folks, if you have the ability to come with, have 100 silver dollars to put in a big plastic bag, and they're pretty heavy, 100 ounces, and if you can find a bill, the date is 1964 and back, and it says on its redeemable lawful money, you should show that demonstration. That was eyes better than anything else you can do. And I just want to let y'all know that. But anyway, attack of the debt tsunami. Coronavirus pushes global debt to a record high. Now, gee, this number is so big it's almost hard to imagine. The IIF said global debt would break new records in the coming months to reach $277 trillion by the end of this year. In the next month, global debt will be $277 trillion. And that's what we know of, Melody. How much worse could it be that we don't know of?
Times two or three?
Yeah, at least with the derivatives. I mean, come on, people. That's probably, as he said, a third of what it probably is. But just think of $277 trillion if you can get your mind wrapped around that. Among advanced nations, read China, U.S., Russia, debt surged above 432% of GDP in the third quarter. A 50% increase, percentage points increase from 2019. The leading nations, the debt to the GDP increased 432%. I don't think we're going to pay the debt off, Melody. Do you?
Do you think we have that much money?
Oh, gosh.
Is that what, you know, I mean, considering the, I mean, put it in perspective a little bit. Sure, the United States, you know, we're close to $30 trillion. You know? We're the wealthiest nation on earth, right?
Right.
But think about all these other nations. That gets a pittance for pay. How are they supposed to get the return on that debt?
That's why they're talking reset.
Poor nations. So yeah, it's you know, when you combine it and you look at that amount of trillions of dollars, it's you're going to have what, three or four nations pay it off? I don't think so.
In emerging markets, debt levels rose to over 240% of GDP, with Lebanon, China, Malaysia, and Turkey experiencing the biggest rises in non-financial sector debt. So it's not just the U.S. It's not even, we'll say, major countries. It's also Lebanon, Turkey, and Malaysia. They're not necessarily huge financial nations, but they're losing ground very quickly. That's exactly, again, why we're going to see a global reset. We'll talk about more in a minute. The global reset is coming up. It truly is. And guess what? If you live in New York City, there's a restaurant there. It's called the City Winery. City Winery in Manhattan. It's going to charge you $50 for a COVID test before you can eat in the restaurant. I'm not making it up, folks.
You might NBC go hungry Universal since it takes a week for their tests to come back.
I assume this is those quick checks. I don't know, but it says starting next Tuesday. Guests who dine indoor at the City Winery in Manhattan will have to take a nasal swab to see if they are infected with coronavirus. New York City restaurant will start providing COVID test 19 tests to diners before they can sit down and eat indoors. City Winery, a splashy restaurant with a winery feel and venue for live entertainment, claimed it will be the first eatery in the United States to test every customer. Now, folks, listen to this. Do you see your freedoms being restricted every day? You're going to have to pay to eat at a restaurant for a test? Said the eatery is the first one in the United States to test every customer starting Tuesday. The restaurant says a certified practitioner will give rapid testing using a shallow nasal swab, to all employees as well. The catch, customers will have to pay $50 for the test. I shouldn't maybe say this, but I hope the place gets shut down for lack of business. This is absurd. This is insane. This is unbelievable, but it is what it is. They will charge you more than the meal cost before you can sit down and eat. I wonder if many people
actually
go there.
I'm sure the meals cost more than $50.
Well, they probably do, but that's why. Yeah, I said more than the meal cost. Yeah, I have no idea. I mean, you can't get anything for less than about $20 in the restaurant anyway, for anywhere. But do you think people are going to pay that? Do you really think they're going to just go in and say, here I am, charge me $50 and swab my nose?
You know what? It reminds me a lot of after 9-1-1 and TSA became ingrained at the airports. And there was story after story of, you know, people in wheelchairs and children getting patted down and, you know, invasion of their own. And it's the attitude is, if you spoke with anybody, they'd say, well, you know, it is what it is, and, you know, and it was just so easily accepted. It just, people went with the flow. You're going to see the same thing with this. People are just going to go with the flow. And
no matter what the cost.
You know, and I remember speaking to a woman who had a little girl. She went to the airport, and I think at that time she wasn't flying with the little girl. She was telling me how they patted her down and so forth and whatnot. And this was in the very beginning. Now, how many years later, we don't think anything about it. We don't think anything about it. But at that point in time, she said something to me. She was explaining it to me. And I says, and she just took it lightly. She kind of giggled at it and laughed at it. I says, you know, it doesn't matter about you, but what happens when you take your little girl with you and they do that? So then what are you going to do? Then what are you going to do? Then how are you going to like that? But you know what? Here it is, 2020. 20 years later. And we just go to the airports and we fly and do whatever we're told to do. So I don't think this is any different.
It isn't any different. It really, that's the sad part.
Yep.
Creeping incrementalism.
It's actually worse than that, but the people's behavior is the same.
Well, one generation cries, the next generation accepts it. And before you know, you end up to your eyeballs.
Years.
Nobody knows how we got there. It's just the way it is. But years ago, when this first started coming out, I was talking to a secretary who used to work for Genesis Communications. And you know who I'm talking about there. She worked in the office there. And she said, I don't care if they have stripped me naked, as long as I feel safe.
Yep.
She told me that. I thought, what? You don't mind being stripped before you get on the plane? That's a mindset she had. And I couldn't believe it. She's a sweet lady. And I just could not believe she said that. What's happened to the indignation of people that whenever they feel that, shouldn't it make us angry when we have to prove we're innocent?
Mm-hmm.
I thought,
but the thing of it is, though,
you're innocent, proven guilty.
I know, but there's so many other things that they can do to prevent the things that they were trying to prevent, other than, you know, patting down people in wheelchairs and mm-hmm. You know, Americans. But my point is people's behavior. This is so much worse because of the final outcome, what they're going to do with it, and how the TSA and the airports, that was just a little trial run. And they succeeded. This is the scary part. This is the scary part.
It's been several months ago, I read online about a lady went to the airport naked. She said, well, they don't have to strip search me now. She got arrested. But I got her point. They don't have to strip me. I'm already naked. You know, and that's crude and rude. I know that. I'm not saying it isn't. But I get her point. She's fed up with it. I'm already naked. Go ahead. Let me get on the plane. But this is what it is, folks. It really is what it is. Now, I want you to explain to me what this is. The UN, folks, announces a biometric digital ID wallet. Wow. Digital ID wallet. Recently, the United Nations has some big announcements that went largely unnoticed, including the rollout of a biometric digital wallet and announcement that one of its specialized agencies, the International Civil Aviation Organization, is one step closer to an internationally recognized digital travel credential. As reported by Biometric Update, this particular UN biometric digital wallet is intended for UN employees, and it can be used for data related to human services, medical status, travel, payroll, and pensions. Folks, I said again, it'll be used for employees, for human resources, medical status, travel, payroll, and pensions. I hope you see where this is going. Every aspect of our lives will be centralized digitally using biometrics, and in many cases, the blockchain, A1, and 5G. I can't help but to raise a question. What kind of social controls does this possibly provide the technocrats if people decide not to obey certain restrictions or requirements? Example, if you didn't get your latest shot, individuals may face travel restrictions, or you may not be able to go to work, or your payments may be frozen until you comply. Melody, that is amazing. If cash goes, the last semblance of any kind of free trade is able to do business with cash or gold and silver, which is real money. If that goes, nothing will be secret again. As far as being able to earn a living, pay your bills, or anything else. Any comments on that?
No, I mean, I think we know where, you know, this is headed, and that's not a really big surprise. I mean, you know, with technology today, and, you know, and it's frustrating because with every, well, the purchase of my new computer, it only advances the technology to control us, our little iPhones, you know, everything that we purchase, our iPads and everything else. We're just like we did with China, you know, we exported our inflation and we bought all their trinkets and we made them wealthy. So now look at their military, look at their might, and it most likely will be their little thumb that comes down on the United States. They own a lot of our debt. By owning a lot of our debt, they own a lot of control. And technology is the same. We buy all their computers and, you know, we're enablers. Butch, we're enablers.
Oh, we are.
Yeah.
We are. I mean, we're laughing about that, but we really, really are.
I know.
When you comply with this type of direction, when you comply without saying anything and trying to avoid it and trying to stop it, you are part of the problem. As a matter of fact, you are the problem. You know, I mentioned, I think, that day, Denmark, they had passed a law that they were going to make mandatory the vaccine. And the people rioted for 9 days, or protested for 9 days in a row, and they canceled the law. Why? Because the citizens of Denmark said, we're not going to do it. Mm-hmm. The people of America said, we're not going to do this. They would have to stop it. They're not going to be able to override 330 million people, especially when there's almost 500 million guns among us. But the people comply, they just comply. It's like going through strip search or accepting a digital wallet. It's so convenient. It's so easy. You don't need to carry anything.
And then we just move on.
Yeah. It's just easy. And just think what's going to mean for us in the future, for our children, to be able to do all this business like this without being... Oh, my goodness, people. We got to get over this idea of convenience and technology being wonderful, because it really isn't. Technology would be great if it were not being used to control us and track us and trace us and monitor us all 24/7. But that's what's been used for. America and China have led the way in this technology. It truly has.
Hey, I hear the music. We're going into a break. Please stay tuned.
You know the past is a loser. The facial wearing is different now, and the day is run hot.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. You know, this was just released from the Treasury Department, and it's a short release. It says the Treasury Department is looking to extend a handful of the Federal Reserve programs used to get markets through the early days of the coronavirus crisis, but is looking to end several others. Among those, the Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin asked the Fed to continue for another 90 days our programs that provided short-term commercial paper loans to businesses, as well as another for money market functioning and a backstop related to the Paycheck Protection Program. Mnuchin also asked that other programs that were supported by Treasury capital come to an end for now. They include two facilities that bought corporate bonds as well as Main Street Lending Program, which was targeted towards small and medium-sized businesses. And you know what? This is probably most likely in addition to what we talked about yesterday when Dave and I were doing some role-playing. And, you know, the Fed isn't supposed to be buying bank debt. And that was included in a lot of these money market functioning and backstop related the two facilities that bought corporate bonds, and that's what they were talking about on the Hill, and that's what they were being grilled about. So that's most likely maybe why they want to all of a sudden pull that. So kind of interesting. The timing is everything, and but you can't get all the details.
And the Fed been buying banking debt for a while.
Well, they were buying. Define what you mean by banking debt.
I mean they were keeping them afloat. Yeah, they were keeping them afloat.
This is something different. This is something a little bit different.
Okay.
They were actually buying. Right. My understanding is they were actually buying their debt more so than just the repos. I think it's two different things.
But so they give money.
This
they
isn't
give them
real
money
clear.
In one.
I mean, this isn't really clear as far as exactly what they're. As usual, out of Washington, no matter what administration, you don't get things that are very clear. You kind of have to decipher it on your own. But this was just a short breaking news.
Well, so they give them money to survive, and the other thing to buy the debt. On the other hand,
mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. That ought to work. I mean. What could be wrong with that?
Well, I don't see anything wrong with that, Butch.
I don't either. I don't know why they do that for me. Why don't you give me money and buy my debt?
I know.
I mean, gee.
I know.
Anyway.
Only in America.
Only in America. You're right. We can afford it, though.
Yes.
No big deal. We're wealthy people. You know, mm-hmm. We can afford it. And you probably saw the Senate blocks Trump's nomination of Judy Shelton to the Fed Reserve Chair. Because she wants to go back to the gold reserve dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Back to pre-1971.
Yes.
And they don't want that. I wonder why they don't want that.
Gee, let me count the ways to the trillions.
I mean, imagine that someone has enough sense to actually think we could actually use gold for reserves again. Oh! What an insane person. Any more comments on that?
No. But yeah, it, again, it just shows who's in charge. It shows that things aren't going to get done. It shows that things were never going to be done that needed to be done in order to change things around in this nation. And I think, you know, as sad as it is, and I know it dampers a lot of hope, but it is what it is.
Well, we've seen, and I know they're playing all the cards now. I mean, I have to admire them and give them credit for having the ability and the talent to keep pulling new cards out of the deck. I mean, just when you think they've reached their end, they come up with something else that delays the inevitable. And I have to give them credit for that, Mel. They've done it for a lot of years now. A lot of years. So, I give them credit for that. As well as this next article I thought was really interesting. Great Reset. Mastermind suggests risk assessment and brain scans before allowing travel. Great Reset Mastermind Klaus Schwab suggests a number of draconian measures for controlling the population. Notice the word, folks. Controlling the population under the umbrella of the Fourth Industrial Revolution, including risk assessment brain scans to cross borders and implantable chips to read people's thoughts. Now, I'm not making this article up. This is a real article. World Economic Forum founder Schwab repeatedly emphasized how the technocrats need to take advantage of the coronavirus pandemic to implement the Great Reset. Let me repeat that. The World Economic Forum founder Schwab has repeatedly emphasized how the technocrats need to take advantage of the coronavirus pandemic to implement the Great Reset, a sentiment that was echoed by Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau during a recent UN video conference. But the Great Reset isn't just about restructuring the economic system, implementing a Green New Deal, making more jobs fully automated, and lowering energy consumption and living standards. There's also a policing aspect to the agenda. Folks, you hear this? They're not just going to try to bring in a new Green New Deal and making jobs, automating jobs and doing things differently. There's a policing agenda to it. Schwab suggests that the population could be encouraged to adopt brain reading chips as part of a business model that involves someone trading access to his or her thoughts for the time-saving option of typing a social media post by thought alone. What do you think about that? Isn't that kind of brain-numbing? I think they're actually discussing this with people like Schwab, the founder of the World Economic Forum. These people, we're not talking about some little guy dressed in a robe somewhere that some little guru says we need to do this. This is coming from world leaders. I think it's a pretty powerful statement.
It truly is. Now, I mean, time frames are a whole different ball game. But the thing of it is, it's conditioning of the people to begin
it
to
is.
Think, even if they get half. Even if they get half of what they want, if they're successful in the completion of half of what they state, it's a pretty good day for them, and it's a bad day for us.
And folks, that's something you got to think about. They discussed a lot of these things. I have a paper here I'll be sharing in church this weekend. It's UN World Government. This is a UN World Government conference scheduled to meet. Scheduled for 1995. This is before 1995. This was not just starting radio in 1993. And this conference was scheduled for 1995. And these were some of the goals they had planned for that meeting in 1995. They planned a world court, which powers to subpoena nations, a world police force. They got that. A world central bank. They got that. A world treasury. They have that. A world trade organization. They've got that. This was only scheduled for discussion in 1995, about 25 years ago. But now it's here. It's real. And this is discussed, and I the paper in my hand, I had laminated, it's discussed. It's written by J.R. Church when this happened. This is for real stuff. And now we're talking about brain scans on a world platform. Nah, can't happen. It's all conspiracy theory, just like it was in 1985 with the world courts and the world mind and the World Monetary Fund. It was all conspiracy. It wasn't going to happen.
No.
Any comments, Melody?
No, I mean, you're absolutely correct. And this is, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, we expect them to do these things overnight, but they have a very, they're very patient.
They are.
And here we are 25 years later, and, I mean, they've been working on these things for how long? And, hey, if they don't get done today or tomorrow, they don't mind waiting until the proper time comes along in order to issue their agenda a little bit more. So it's... anyway.
But the people are incrementally getting used to the idea. When I first said that in radio back in 1993 or 1994, I just been on radio, starting in March 1993. I started on radio the first time. Hey, people literally thought I was... Go ahead.
And we have a caller.
Oh, we do? Okay.
Would you like to take the call? We have Dave from Massachusetts.
I know Dave.
Joining us.
Sorry, I called, I think, maybe two nights ago. I was thinking, because this is basically one colossal social engineering beat that's being pushed by COVID, Corona, whatever you want to call it, along with the Black Lives Matter and the Antifa, all the other, you know, little Bolshevik gremlins. But I was thinking, here's another goal. You know how they say, oh, we have to do things virtually because they have us not living in freedom, they have us living in feardom. So they say, okay, we'll do everything virtually, have a virtual Thanksgiving. I would think, wait a minute, that coin reminds me of something else, virtual reality, because they want us basically living in, quote, virtual realities, because that way they can tell us whatever they want reality to be or what they want us to think reality is.
Hmm. Good point. Yeah. Good point.
Very much so.
But making that even feel like it's real. Like you're playing a video game.
Yeah. Because when speaking of videos, because people don't read anymore, videos, they feed on basically images, and people are as easily as manipulated as whatever images are being done. I think that's why we have the whole mass culture and the culture of fear. That, oh, the virus is going to get me, so we have to, the barrel's got to stop turning on its axis.
Yep. Save us.
Yeah. Except no politician or bureaucrat or none of these can save us. So there's only one who can save us, you know, who died on the cross and rose from the dead on the third day.
Amen. Yep. Amen. The people don't know Dave anymore to even look that direction. They look to man to fix it.
Yeah.
That's why we're in this
mess. They want to say, oh, I don't see God, I don't believe in God, but yet I don't think any of them seen this coronavirus, this COVID-19 virus, but they still seem to believe that it's there.
Yeah. I agree. Good call.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Dave. Thank you. You know, Melody, we're blessed to have some of the smartest people listening to these programs. You know that.
Absolutely.
We really are. I mean, they're not being deceived. Their eyes are open.
You know what? And it's interesting because, I mean, I know, you know, people do, but, I mean, if you're not aware of what's going on, I mean, that's, you know, you're easier to fall victim to the agenda from the internet and so forth. But I don't watch videos, not long ones anyway. I don't mind watching 5-minute ones or 10-minute ones. But you do... I mean, that is a way. It is visual. That is the reality. That is the virtual reality that I believe he was talking about. I might be mistaken, but those videos, YouTubes, all of those videos, it's all part of conditioning. You don't know who's real, who's not real, and they're powerful. It's to me, if you watch enough of those videos, it truly is mind control. And it is like being in one of those virtual reality things. And yes, a lot of our listeners, they know what's going on, so they don't get caught in it. But the millions and millions and billions of other people who really don't understand or, you know, have fallen blind to whatever, they're the victims. And those are the ones that they count on. Those the elite, whatever you want to call them. And so I don't watch, I don't read opinions, I read the facts that, you know, so many of these articles and from all positions, you know, they're opinions, but they do have the news in there, or they do have the report in there into which they base their opinions on. Rarely do I read the opinions. I read the facts, and that's what's important to me. So, I don't know, Butch. It's a weird, weird world, and the best thing that could happen to the is if, I hate to say this, if the internet went down.
I agree. I totally agree. And the cell phones went off. I wouldn't mind that either. I wouldn't. It's time for us to go back to basics again, where we can't be tracked. Everything we get that's electronic does monitor us, Mel. You know that. Your computer monitors
sure.
you. Your cell phone monitors you. What happened to the idea we could get in a car and drive down the highway without being tracked and traced? We could pay for gasoline with cash, no debit card, no credit card, actually do business independently, and no one's watching 24/7. We convenience ourselves right into a corner, right into a police state, as you could say. We've done it with our eyes wide open and receiving the benefits of it. That's what we've done.
Yes.
So, anyway, any comments on that?
No, I mean, it's just facts. It's where we are today. And it gives us a clue as to where we're headed tomorrow.
Yes, it does. It does. When you have world leaders discussing.
We get so easily distracted onto something, and we stay with it, and it's hounded at us, and we stay with it and stay with it, and we miss everything else that's going right by us.
So. Very true.
But the music is there. We can't bypass that. So, we'll be back tomorrow. So until then, good night. And God bless.
Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.